Let us pray. Oh, Father, 10,000 reasons, 10,000 years. Thank you for letting those countless years begin here and now. Thank you for showering us with those reasons, disclosing who you are. Thank you for giving us clean hands and a pure heart, which we could not have ourselves, no matter how hard we tried. But you so graciously baptized into the only one who's ever lived who had clean hands and a pure heart. We ask you in his name, invite you to make yourself at home in our hearts, at home in our lives, at home in these moments, at home in these classrooms, at home in this 2013 summer session, at home in our world. It is your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. The title of this talk is going to be Four Evangelists, One Mission. And that's where we're going to end up. But to give this series of talks a little bit of context, I wanted to talk about the concept of one. There's a lot in the scriptures about one. And I won't begin the list, but suffice it to say, we know there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as Jim began to riff so beautifully and powerfully in the presidential address yesterday, there is one great, big, grand, multicultural mission. And it's God's mission. So we're going to talk about the one thing. Remember Curly from City Slickers? You know the secret of life? It's the one thing. As Vaughn was talking so beautifully and stirringly last night about hearing that deeper note in our hearts, what is that one thing that God is calling us to be and do? Not what one goal to achieve, what one award to win, which race to run, but that one thing that when we do, we feel his pleasure, like Eric Little. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. I know there are two or three things that when I do them, I feel his pleasure. I can feel his smile, even though I can't see it physically. I know it. You know that too. And finding that in the context of God's one thing. Now let's talk about culture for a minute. You've probably heard this quote. I heard it a few years ago and had to dig to figure out who it was that had said it. It was from Richard Halverson, the late chaplain of the U.S. Senate. Christianity started out in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to England and became a culture. It moved to America and became an enterprise. Now, I think that that quote has a lot of positive freight in it, and it also carries a lot of negative freight. Yes, I believe the gospel did transformative things in every one of those cultures as it passed along. But also, from Halverson's quote, we can see that each one of those cultures kind of refashioned the gospel and reclothed it and reshaped it in its own image. Of course, it makes sense for Americans to process the gospel as an enterprise. We're an enterprising people. The problem is when we let that drive the mission and drive the story. And if you think about how imperialistic this quote even is, Africa is not even mentioned, which is one of the greatest sources of theology and early church history, and is becoming so important again, and other parts of the world as well. Rather than letting the gospel transform us, or even if we do let it transform us, so often we begin to reshape it in our own image. Paul Neely recently turned me on to a book by Clayton Schmidt called Sent and Gathered. Sent and Gathered, a worship manual for the missional church. The first thing that grabs your attention about it is that it's sent and gathered rather than gathered and sent. And he kind of grabs you by the nape of the neck and gets your attention by putting sent first. Will Willimon said about this book, for some time many of us have been talking about the need for the church to go missional. Now Clay Schmidt tells us how to let our mission form our worship and how our worship can empower our mission. I think it's a brilliant quote. But that introduces into our conversation, our dialogue, the term missional. Jim, remember the conference we went to where they talked about missional over and over and over and finally said, well, I don't think we know how to define it. The people who were on the platform talking about missional, it was like this mystery. Well, we know it when we see it. We know it when we get close to it. There was a really good article by Alan Hirsch in Christianity Today a while back. He talked about how we have now missional communities, missional leaders, missional worship, missional seating, and even missional coffee. It's pretty silly. And he says that when talking about things being missional, the church becoming missional, it's not talking about the emerging church. It's not the same as evangelism. It's not being seeker sensitive. It's not a new name for church growth. It's more than social justice. And what Alan Hirsch said that becoming missional is recovering a missionary understanding of God. That God is missional. I'm not sure, he went on to say this, Alan Hirsch, and I'm not sure if he's quoting, I've heard this quote attributed both to Leslie Newbegin and to Patrick Kiefert, and Jim, we talked about it just the other day, that it's not so much that the church has a mission. The big deal is the mission has a church. Is the mission going to find its home in the church and become that motivational? Jim, I just loved your talk yesterday and what we heard of God's heart in it. The notion of finding a heart sound. You can tell when it happens. You know it when it happens to you, when somebody taps into your heart sound. You know it when you're in a room full of people like the Puerto Ricans, the Latinos that you were with who responded to the merengue and whatever those tempos were. Finding a heart sound. But there's even a bigger issue here. Finding God's heart sound. If we have one, God's got one, because we're made in His image. And we just might find out, I'm fascinated by the world of jazz, and I love the old quote that jazz is the sound of surprise. If you want to find out what God's heart sound is, we're probably going to find out it's the sound of surprise, and I'm not just talking about jazz. As Phillips Craig and Dean sang so beautifully, his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. God's favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed, and it gets sung in every language, every tongue. In the talk yesterday, in Swahili, in Creole, in Hindi, in Mandarin, in Portuguese, it gets sung in every tongue and in every kind of musical motif and model that we can imagine. And that's his favorite song of all. There are four evangelists, and they all record one mission. And I didn't realize this, although I'd read the New Testament my entire life. Started hearing it when I was 4 years old. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore, or in your going. Yes, yeah, in your going, and go ye. Mark 16, Mark, always succinct, if not abrupt, go. John 20, 21 and 22. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And Luke does it twice. In Luke 24, you are witnesses of these things. What do witnesses do? They tell a story. And Acts 1:8 that we heard this morning. You start where you are. You start in Orange Park, Franklin, Tennessee, wherever it is you live. You start there, and then you spread out throughout the rest of that state, the rest of that nation, through Samaria. You start looking at the areas that you don't normally go into. You might think you should avoid, and eventually the whole earth. There's a quote in Clayton Schmidt's book about the Missio Dei, the mission of God. The mission of God, the Missio Dei, is about God's own passionate desire, which will not be frustrated, to move more and more into the world and more into each human heart. That is the mission of God. It's one grand multicultural mission. Every tribe, every tongue, every people. I love the Latin that ends the Mass, the Latin Mass, the Roman Catholic Mass. Ite, missa est. Ite, go, missa est. It is ended. All my life, whenever I encountered that or heard it talked about, it just sounded like a perfunctory benediction to me. But you know, your heart tells you that it's true. When that first began to be said, what that the minister that was doing the dismissing, when he said go, or she said go, what they were thinking is, go ye therefore, in your going, be witnesses. As the Father has sent him, so he is sending us. Go, go ye therefore, ite, missa est.